to the Adventure in Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the Adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio. And I had the privilege to be on another show lately, which I'm not on too many other shows, but there are a select few that I will agree to be on that are actually fun. And this show that I had to actually go on for a part two, because I guess part one wasn't enough Pipe Man for them. And then I guess, you know, there were some other co-hosts that probably wanted to do the show with me, and we have one of those people right now that was, you know, a co-host of that show, but not for part one, so she really didn't know what she was in for part two. But I so loved her personality and what she does that I thought it was time to bring her on this show. So I'd like to welcome to the show Jessica Hein.
Hey, so excited to be here. Thank you, Pipe Man.
Oh, my pleasure. And it is true, because like there's only a few like that I kind of handpick to interview. And it's usually when I hear somebody that just has an amazing personality and also happens to be a talent, because they can be a talent and have no personality. And I'm not sure I want to interview them because it's not a great interview. And, you know, I might just want to play their music. But in your case, I guess you were the complete package.
Sweet. Well, thank you. That's an honor, and I appreciate the compliment. That's very nice of you. Thanks.
And the first thing I want to focus on during this interview is the fact that it was my birthday the day before the show, and not to my knowledge whatsoever what I was to expect when I got on this show, and you actually sang happy birthday to me.
I did. I don't think that I had notified anyone of that. I'm pretty sure that the other co-hosts involved in that interview were just as surprised as you were. I kind of surprised myself, actually.
That's what I was going to ask. Was it like just a moment thing that you just like, oh, I should do this?
Kind of, yeah. And then I was trying to figure out why in the world I chose to go with the Marilyn Monroe vibe. And I feel like subconsciously she had kind of planted herself in there in my brain, because what's that movie called, The River of No Return or something? Some kind of movie that she'd been in had been playing on my TV in my home, thanks to my parents. And I guess she just kind of, you know, planted the seed so that a few days later, she just popped out of nowhere through your birthday song.
I thought it was just because I'm the pipe man and, like, you know, gorgeous women like to sing, you know, sultry songs like that.
Of course.
So, yeah, I mean, not many people on the radio catch me off guard, or on the TV catch me off guard. And so you did. So that impressed me enough to bring you on my show.
Sweet. Now I'm extra excited.
Yeah, usually I'm the one embarrassing people instead of the one like that. You know, I didn't even know really what to do or what to say, so I just went to default pipe man mode, and I think I started, like, I don't know, making weird faces and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what happened, and
I wouldn't say the word seductive. It was like when somebody looks stupid being seductive with, I think it was a piece of the candy bar cookie that Sherry sent.
Oh, that's what it was. That's okay. Yeah, that was, we went into improv that day, because I told you I wanted you to act out.
Yes.
I wanted you to act out the eating the way that I was singing. What does it even mean?
I know, right? That it was pretty wild. And you know, what's funny about that is, okay, is I have had that done for me in person before, but the last time that was like 14 years ago, And it was this friend of mine that it was kind of scary when she was singing it to me. I'm just going to say that, you know. Yeah, she, to this day, we joke about it, like how much she scared me that day.
Well, I hope that I wasn't in the scary realm. It was more just supposed to be fun.
No, because in the scary realm, I was like running for my life. It was at my house, and I had to leave, you know. In this one, you got me to act stupid. So then it must have been good. Like, you know, I was willing to jump through hoops for your song.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. It was a good time.
And I do love a voice. Like, that's the one thing I will say is if somebody has a really, really good voice, that is probably the most seductive thing there could be. It doesn't matter who they are, what they look like. When they belt out, you know, whatever they're going to belt out, you know, sometimes that's the stuff that just really goes deep to your soul. And I think you might have that kind of voice.
I sure hope so. That is that's my passion, my love, and to be able. I think ultimately my goal is to, and you'll probably hear this from, I don't know, 99.9% of the performers out there, but it's true. We wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. But when I perform, whether it's in a musical or a play or just singing a song, if I am able to take the guest, the audience member, if I'm able to put them in a different place and make them forget, I don't want to make them forget stuff, but I mean, if they're having a bad day or if they're going through something, if I'm able to remove them from that stress, hopefully, you know, get rid of some anxiety. If I'm able to take them to a different place that puts them in a better spot, then I did my job, you know, and that's why I love characters so much. And I clearly took you to a different place the other day on the interview, but you know, it's stuff like that, whether it's seductive or a kid in a kid show or playing a grandmother in another show. It's just so much fun. And I make you, if I'm able to make someone forget about real life in a good way, then I did my job.
No doubt. I think that's what music and entertainment's all about. You know, to me, music's like the best therapy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it does take you to another place, which is why it's the best therapy. Mm-hmm. I think that's where, you know, kids nowadays are missing out. And I think it also contributes to a lot more stress and anxiety and stuff like that. You know, back in the day, you would listen to a whole album and you could just disappear in an album. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But nowadays, yeah, these kids don't even listen to a whole song. It's like 30 seconds max. Click, next, next. And they're in this click, click, click mentality where they really never have the chance to get lost in the song.
Yeah. Well, I think this is me personally, just some old school popping out, but everything has become so digital and repetitive. And I'm not saying that those kind of things, like there were loops and samples used for as long as I can remember, but even then it had some sort of personality. But now it's just some weird electronic noise. And I feel like that in general stresses people out. Because
yeah, no doubt.
It's not real. It's not natural. It's not organic. And yeah, I think that's why is music now, not to say that it's not still being made and created and produced, but a lot of it, there's no soul. There's no soul. It's not human.
Yeah, well, you know, even songwriting has changed because I talked to different artists. Like when I was taking classes like music theory and how to write songs and all that back in college, I just remember, you know, there was a formula. You know, mm-hmm. You had like usually, and it depended on the type of music, but on my type of music, it would be like intro, verse one, chorus, verse two, chorus, bridge, solo, verse three, chorus, end of song.
Yep.
And when I talk to artists now, it's like, yeah, nowadays, because of the short attention span society, we have to eliminate the intro, because if you don't catch them in the first 10 seconds, they're gone. You got to say that.
Oh, I just went, my heart.
Oh, yeah. And then you have to get rid of bridge, get rid of solo, and now they're even getting rid of third verse because it's just too much. I'm just like, oh, my God. First of all, how you tell a story in two verses, number one.
Which, no.
You know, and second of all, you know, that intro is some of what used to, like, with a lot of the music, I'm a metalhead. And there's a lot of old, like, Metallica songs that started off, like, real slow. And like, you're like, what the hell is this at first? But you had the attention span to listen to it long enough to where then it got brutal after 10 seconds. And you're like, well, that's cool. You know?
Yeah. That's the whole point. It piques your interest. It draws you in. But now everything has to be just handed to you full on, front to finish. Here you go. This is what you're going to get. And that's just, what's the element of surprise? What's the element of figuring stuff out and experiencing and exploring?
You know,
not
what,
there. Womp womp.
Yeah. Now what, I want to ask your opinion on something else, since you're very into live music, performing live. What do you think of the idea of, like, a DJ, like these electro, you know, concerts where it's just a DJ? It's not live music. It's a DJ, and people, like, spend hundreds of dollars to go to this concert that is just a DJ.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is a very sensitive topic, as are most things when you're kind of either raining on someone's parade or not. But it's a talent. You have to be able to do that. You have to know how. However, I mean, and kudos to anybody that can draw in millions of people where they're just jumping around, you know, lights flash, and it's a huge spectacle. So I understand the entertainment aspect, but how long did it take them to learn how to do that or to master that compared to someone who plays the classical violin or cello, or who plays in an orchestra, who sits in first chair? I don't know.
Well, no, you make a very valid point there. Is, you know, it's funny. Before I ever went to one, I always talked nothing but negative about it. Like I would say, like, who the frick is going to, you know, go to a concert that isn't even live music? To me, that's like the whole idea of watching even a concert on YouTube instead of going. They're two totally different experiences. Like, that doesn't mean you shouldn't watch one on YouTube, but it certainly does not replace the live experience. However, you know, I cover a lot of festivals, and I did this one festival, Okeechobee Fest, for several years. But the first year, they had Skrillex and Bass Nectar were performing at it.
I do love me some Skrillex. See, that's what I'm saying. It's hard topic.
Yeah, so that's what happened to me, is, like, I went into this, I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to experience one of these, you know, and I have to say, I was like, oh, my God, I get it. And I don't even need the drugs. Like, you know, because they talk about that. They didn't even need it. It was like, it was, you know, it's still not the same, but I saw what people liked about it and how they got into it. And, you know, some of this, and it was definitely a performance. It was definitely entertaining. And I was actually really into it for both Skrillex and Bass Nectar. So, you know, that I never expected that to happen to me.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's definitely understandable why. And shoot, if I went, I'm sure I'd be into it too, you know, but it's because I love music, and regardless of what type, I still appreciate it. And the work and effort that goes into it. But see, Skrillex, I mean, just saying that, one of my most favorite memories, and I have many that involve music, but I was traveling the national tour of Sesame Street Live, and we were doing soundcheck, and I was the only human that was meant to enter, or live human character on stage interacting with all of the Sesame Street characters. And our sound guy was just kind of messing around and just trying to put himself in the mood and get our heads in the game for the show. And he played Skrillex. I had never heard Skrillex before. But because of him, because of the sound engineer, I now know who they are and I enjoy them. And it takes me to a happy place. So, you know, it's all connected. And it just depends on your choice, on your taste.
And see, now you took me to a happy place thinking of you as the only human performing Sesame Street live. I could actually picture yeah. that in my head.
Well, I'll have to send you a photo. My name was Kay, but I ended up representing the letter K, right? Because Kelly Munster freaked out because he was like, oh no, we don't have a letter of the day. And I was like, don't worry, Kelly, I can be a K for you. And then I made the shape of my body, you know, like in the shape of a K, and it made this little noise. Oh, it's a whole thing. I love Sesame Street. Was so much fun, especially when we would play hide and go seek with all of the characters backstage, which clearly can't hide because they're ginormous. So like Big Bird would run behind just like a curtain, but his tail would be sticking out and he'd be like, where's Big Bird? So silly, but we had such a great time.
See, you know what's cool about that stuff is, like, that's the cool part about having kids, because you get to go to stuff like that and not look like a creepo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the parents and all the guardians and grandmothers and whoever was there, they were up dancing with the kids just like nobody's business.
Yeah, they were probably more into it than the kids. It's like, you have to go to that, because they really wanted to go. So we're going to this day. But I don't want to. I want to play on my iPad. You need to go and get some culture. You're going.
Learn something. Learn about healthy eating.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
And exercise.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what other cool things have you done like that?
Ooh, well, I started performing on cruise ships as one of the production cast vocalists in 2008. And I had done that several times on and off contracts. I don't think I'm that person that would be able to be out there just nonstop. But so I would pretty consistently go on a contract, come back for a couple months, and then go back out again. So I started that in 2008. Like I said, I did Sesame Street. I've done all kinds of live musical theater and professional theater and plays in Nashville. And in New York, a little bit of everything. Sing at weddings. I was in a female trio back in Tennessee, having moved back to Tennessee after living in New York for several years. I sang in a female trio, and we did a lot of Andrew Sisters style music and sang to veterans, which is also, that's just a whole other thing. It's so sweet. You just want to cry because they get so excited and happy and are so grateful. And again, it took them back. It took them back to a happier place and time. So, yeah, just kind of all the things.
That's amazing. Like, that's the cool thing about what you do. And I have to say, you mentioned about the cruises, and my mind went to two totally separate places at that time. First place it went was Love Boat.
The Love Boat. Yes. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other is, you know, I used to go on the cruises to nowhere a lot. And, you know, so.
No, the booze cruise. No, Pipe Man.
Yeah, no, but I don't drink. I would go to gamble. So,
okay. Yes.
So as soon as I ran out of money gambling, that's when I would go to the shows like, oh, well, I can't gamble anymore. I might as well go to the show.
So how did you feel about the shows that you saw? What was your impression?
I thought they were pretty good, actually. They were cool, you know, and it's a night out. Like, doing that stuff, those cruises to nowhere, you know, they were pretty cool. They're, you know, a night out. And, you know, I think it would be kind of cool, like you're saying. So I wouldn't want to do the cruise all the time, because then I'd feel like, you know, I was cramped or whatever, being stuck there. But it would be cool to do it, like, on that contract basis like that. Like, it'd be cool to go out there and be on the boat for a while and then, you know, come back and, you know, get out of being in that one place,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, it can get, it's not for everybody. It's kind of tough when it's such close quarters, I guess, is what it is. And
yeah.
It becomes a small little world in a box. It's like it's just a little bubble. And you are forced, you don't have a choice, you're forced to live you know, eat, work with these people. And sometimes it's a really great connection and it works out well. And then other times you just meet folks and that you just don't click with. And
you mean you
regardless
jump
of
overboard.
What's going on, you have to deal with it.
You mean you want, sometimes you want to jump overboard.
Well, thankfully I've never gotten to that point, but yes, I'm sure it can push people to at least think about it. But,
I mean, I've known a few people I'd want to throw overboard.
Yes, that definitely has happened.
But close enough to shore that they can swim back, and not easily swim back, but they can swim back. I mean, you know,
just float. They get tired, they just float.
Like I would totally be like, if I got thrown overboard, I would hope I would be near shore to be able to swim back to shore.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't even want to think about how terrifying and
there's
fatal.
There's a new thing about the Titanic now that didn't really, you know, it didn't really happen because of an iceberg, apparently. I forget what the news was.
Really?
There's some recent news, new developments on the Titanic, and there's like, I can't remember what it was, but you know, something about what they have said happened isn't what really happened. So who knows?
Now what?
And you know, they've been talking forever about building a new Titanic. Like, why just call it a different name? Okay, because
don't do that.
I'm a marketing person. That's just not a good idea. Okay, like
nope.
You're not getting me on any boat named the Titanic. I don't even care if it's a lifeboat.
Yeah, don't do it. I mean, there is the Titanic Experience. It's like a museum.
Yeah, that's different.
That, but not like another boat or a ship. That's dumb.
Yeah, and supposedly the one they're trying to do is supposed to be bigger than the old Titanic was, and bigger and better. And it's like, that was the problem the first time, is it was the biggest and best ever, and it sank. So again, bad marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, like, thanks.
Like, if you're going to market it now, it should be like, and come aboard the new Titanic where we've made it smaller so it won't sink.
That's about the best they can say, I think.
You know, and like, what about that love story? It, you know, that's I don't know. Would you want to live that love story? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather the boat just not have sank?
Probably just not sinking. I don't know how I feel about that love story either, but whatever. I don't know.
See, I like probably the love story in Rocky instead. You know, she goes in a coma. She comes out of the coma. He offers not to fight anymore, and she tells him to win. And then the Rocky music comes on, and he beats Apollo Creed. You know,
done.
That's
done,
the way
done.
It should be.
There you go.
That's the way a love story should be. Just saying.
That's another one. Another good memory I have. There's a, I don't even know where it is. It's probably lost in the abyss of electronics and SD cards and such, but another show that I performed in Philadelphia, some friends and I from the cast proceeded to run up the steps, as you do, with our camera singing the Rocky. You had to sing the song and run up the steps and then jump up and down joyously, punching the air as Rocky did.
Wow, now I love you even more. That, you know, that's my favorite movie of all time. It's also the first it's also the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater. When it first came out.
The first movie.
Yeah, the first one when it first came out.
I saw in a movie theater was Follow That Bird.
Follow
and now
that
we're back
bird.
To Sesame Street.
Wow. Yeah, my second movie I ever saw in a movie theater when it first came out was the original Star Wars.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, so those are the memories I have. Not the not a bird.
Those are your memories are good too.
So tell us about what you do now. Tell our listeners everything about what you do now.
Now? That's not fair because COVID just like
Now pre-COVID, post-COVID. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, as we all have been forced to do is become more familiar with and navigate technology, which has been pretty almost impossible for me, where I've been staying primarily during this COVID situation. In the country, we did not have internet, or we had internet capabilities, but the service was pretty much non-existent and awful. I mean, someone could send me a song to listen to or a video link that I needed to upload, and it would say, I don't know, anywhere from 7 hours to 24 hours to 48 hours. So I was that person who was driving around trying to find internet. So, and we couldn't go couldn't go in anywhere. So I would go to Starbucks and go through the drive-thru, and then I would sit in their parking lot and hope for the best. And if that didn't work, there was a Petco across the street in a strip mall, and I would try to connect to the Petco, which wasn't very successful. So, needless to say, it's been very, very difficult and very trying. But as you mentioned in the beginning, I have been hosting online interviews and have met so many amazing, talented, creative, just beautiful people in all walks of life, and am very thankful for that. And honestly, if COVID hadn't put us in this situation, I don't know how involved I would be at this point with that. So it's been really great. And shoot, I wouldn't be talking to you right now if that had been the case. So I'm just going to see how far this takes me. And when I'm able, I'm going to get back out and start performing again whenever, I'm able now, but whenever the situation allows, I'm ready to get back out there, chomping at the bit, as they say.
Come on down to South Florida. We don't care about rules here. We have a bunch of idiots, so we don't care about rules here.
Hop on down. I mean, I could just go down there and wander around the street singing. At least I'm doing something.
Well, you could have gigs too here, you know. Like, yeah. Even right down the street from where I live, they have live gigs. So, you know, you could always stay at the Pipe Cave. I have the beach as the backyard and the Intercoastal as the front yard. It's a good place to quarantine. Like, I have no idea there's COVID going on because I'm just in my own world.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to quarantine, that's the way to quarantine. Or like up in the mountains somewhere. Like what you were saying didn't really sound that bad. I mean, yeah, it would kind of suck for business and all that, but being cut off from the world, I don't know that it'd be that bad, because I'm not really enjoying being connected nowadays, to be honest. People are a bunch of jerk-offs, to be honest.
I mean, it is, like we had talked about earlier, or mentioned at some point during our conversation, maybe not on this particular interview, but at some point. Also, COVID has either kind of forced us to, or inspired people to either take a step back and actually separate and have a moment to themselves, or just completely go all in, and they're inseparable from their electronics. So I was forced to take that step back, and it's been a catch-22. It hasn't, unfortunately, it wasn't beneficial to me in trying to further my endeavors when I was trying to connect to people, and that became excruciatingly frustrating. But at the same time, if I weren't out in the wilderness and able to walk and able to get fresh air and able to get the vitamin D, I'd also be in a different mindset. So there's always two sides.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, I know, you know, people will be chomping at the bit to see you live when once COVID's over. So see, you have people that are like waiting. They can't wait. So describe your singing style, what you enjoy to sing, and, you know, your training and all that. And if I were to come see you live, what would I expect? I mean, I know what the birthday song's like, so, but now I want to know what I expect when I go see you live.
It's a variety of things. I like to tell stories with my cabarets. And so I would take you on a bit of a Jess's musical journey. But also, in doing so, I hope that I would be able to two songs that are familiar and loved by most of the audience. It's hard to please everybody, but a little bit of everything. With my background and telling about me, I definitely break out some sort of musical theater song, I'm sure, because you just have to. Also, I really enjoy performing jazz standards. I like kind of the jazz realm because that's music. That is music. You can't deny that that's not that's not music. And you talk about Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, Billie Holiday. And now, you know, people, I really enjoy Norah Jones. I think she has an amazing voice and also just a really sweet, humble, genuine personality. That's just kind of how I feel about her. But then you also can't ignore Michael Jackson or Journey or Queen or who else would I? Other songs. I don't actually have my set list. Can you tell? But
well, that's okay. You'll probably have a new one by the time COVID's over.
Probably, yes. But I try to cover everything that would be familiar. And you have your usuals. Now, I will say I will not sing. I'm not going to do a screaming belt song at you, and I'm not going to try to mimic or sound like Mariah Carey. I will not try to do a Celine Dion rendition or Whitney Houston. That's for them. Those ladies will forever be icons, are and forever will be and were, and I'm that's for them.
And most people can't. You take somebody like Mariah Carey, she has such a range that most people can't even reach that range, and so why should you try to, you know, mimic her?
It's just, I don't know, I don't. That's their thing, and I appreciate it, and I'm, you know, I couldn't do what any of them do and did. I mean, I could get close, but I'm not going to try, because you're always going to be compared, and that's their deal. So I won't be doing those songs, but I will be doing others. Now, I could do maybe a Dolly Parton something, just because I have to stay true to Tennessee vibe.
There you go.
Oh, of course, Elvis. And I could break out some sort of R&B-ish song, because both Justin Timberlake and Usher lived in Tennessee as well. So it's all out there, all options.
Well, that's definitely a wide range. Anyway, you know, there's a couple artists that most female singers I know that like sing around here live will not attempt to sing because they are very difficult to match up on that same, you know, level. One is Stevie Nicks.
Yep. Yeah.
And the other is actually, okay, so I have these three celebrity loves of my life, and the reason there's three is because if you could combine all three into one person, then that might be the perfect woman. And one of them is one of that other ones that people find hard to sing, and that's Amy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
From Evanescence.
Yeah.
So I know quite a few people, they're like, oh no, yeah, I would never attempt to sing her. And she's one, why she's in that three, because of her voice.
So
say that again?
I said both of their voices are just so... Well, as most voices, but they're just so specific. They have such a quality tone to them that
exactly.
It would be hard to replicate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So tell everybody how they can connect you on social media, check out all your stuff, follow you, you know, find out when you're going to have live shows or anything else you want them to know about you.
Okay. Well, it's Jessica Heim. JessicaHeim, as in man, a really nerdy way of remembering, and I came up with this a long time ago, and I still say it, is to know how to pronounce my last name, just say my last name first. Hi, I'm Jessica. And then you have to wave. Like, hi, I'm Jessica. Get it? So, anyway.
I was thinking, like, if somebody were choking and I'd have to give them the Heimlich maneuver.
Yes, of course. There's also been Heims with an M ketchup. I don't know. There have been lots of variations of my last name in joke form. But yeah, so Jessica Heim on Facebook, Jessica Heim 7 on Instagram, and Note 4, the number 4, Life, all one word, on YouTube. And I don't have a lot of videos, but I will. They're coming. I've, especially before now, I've always been pretty private when it comes to social media. And I've always said, well, if I want somebody to know something, I'll tell them myself. And I'll reach out to them personally. I don't need to announce to the entire world that, I don't know, that I stubbed my toe. Who cares? I'm good. I'm fine.
Okay. You don't need everybody to know you went to the bathroom?
No, that's ridiculous. Like, I don't, whatever. In fact, I'd have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure you could go on my Facebook page, and I might have personally posted a photo of myself maybe 4 times ever. All of the photos and things that you'll see, I've been tagged in by other people. I just don't do it. And it's been really hard for me to make myself do, like, post that stuff. Cause I really just don't wanna. So in saying that, I'm working on it. I promise I'm working on it, and there will be more. So if people go check it out and they're like, well, there's nothing here. Well, true. We're getting there. It's a work in progress. Slow and steady.
You might have to just give in. Cause like, I was one of those people, you know, I like being off the grid, and there is no such thing nowadays. Like, so, I was one of those people that wouldn't even get a sun pass, which is a thing for the tolls, because I didn't want them tracking me. So, and now I'm like, whatever. You know?
You were serious about your off the grid.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's like, you know, we're talking about, you know, this whole COVID thing. Right before we got locked down for COVID, I was in Costa Rica, and, you know, that's about pretty off the grid that I didn't even have a whole clue that a week later, by the time I got back, that the whole world would shut down. It was like, just, you know, we're there and there was news, and it was like, oh, well, big deal. You know, it didn't really seem like a big deal there. Nobody had it there. But then I saw something like, Ultra here in Miami can't postpone. Then Coachella postponed. I'm like, uh-oh, maybe there is something serious going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then that next thing you knew, 50 events for the rest of 2020 for the Pipe Man were non-existent.
Done. Yep.
But then, yeah, here we are, you and I, sitting on this interview. So, you know, you never know what the universe puts your way. And, I'm glad that it put us in this way, because I think everybody needs to check you out, because you are not only an amazing talent, but an amazing personality. And even though you don't take pictures of yourself, you definitely do not have a face for radio.
selfies.
Yeah, you know what face for radio is, right? Like, most radio people, you don't want to see what they look like in real life. Social media was not made for radio, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I've always, maybe that's what you're saying, is like a voice, you create this image with a voice, right? So that's what I remember from when I was younger.
Now, most people are just ugly in radio.
No,
most people are just ugly in radio.
See, I don't believe that for 1 second. Not 1 second.
That's why the joke face for radio.
No, I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
What I was going to say, though, is you definitely need to do some TikToks with, like a Sesame Street TikTok would be cool, too.
Well, funny you should say that. I love puppetry as well. And I have my own Muppet. He's actually a Muppet puppet named Henry Heim. And I created him personally at the Muppet Whatnot shop at the FAO Schwartz. Well, what was FAO Schwartz in New York City?
I miss that store.
And I've been toying with the idea of creating an account specifically for Henry and myself to do fun things together on TikTok. And I would only use TikTok for that. So,
do
I
it.
Mean, I said it. Now I have to.
Yep. Now it's live on air, and I'm going to hold you to it.
Yep. Now I have to, accountability partner. Here we go.
There you go. You know it. So what final words would you like to leave our listeners with, and anything you want them to know about you that we haven't covered already?
Well, they probably would have figured it out by now, but try to laugh, everybody. Try to find something funny today. I don't care what it is. I don't care how it happens, but just smile, breathe, relax. And it's easier said than done, but I promise you'll feel better afterwards.
That is the best advice ever, because, you can do a study. Like, it's very hard to be depressed if you laugh physically. There's like a thing you can do physically to change somebody's state of mind by making them laugh.
Yeah, it actually changes the chemistry in your body. Something happens. It releases some sort of something. That's my scientific terminology.
Well, there you go. And that's what most people would understand anyway. So that's a good enough explanation as far as I'm concerned.
Awesome.
So it's been fun. You know, now you're going to have to make me laugh because I'm getting very upset because we're at the end here.
Make them laugh. You know what that's from?
Oh, there's that Broadway voice.
That's a horrible version. That's like my Ethel Merman horrible. Just being stupid sound.
how about can you do Hedwig for me?
Ooh, no. I don't think so. I don't know that. Got that one in my pocket yet. I'll have to work on that.
See, I was playing a game. Let's stump the Jess.
You did it. You stumped me, Pipeman. Winning.
There you go. I love it. Again, I hope everybody reaches out to you, checks you out, follows you. I can't wait for that TikTok that I'm going to keep you like accountable for, because that's going to be fun.
Yep. Henry Heim.
Even the name. I love the name.
Well, it's my brother from another mother. I never had a brother, so, and I always wanted one, so I made him.
Well, there you go. That might have to be for a whole nother short show to tell the whole story about that.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a story in and of itself.
I have endless stories, Pipeman. Endless stories for you.
Oh, beautiful. So do I. So we'll have to do a lot more stories then. Absolutely, for sure. Everybody, make sure to love Jessica Heim, because she is an amazing talent, and you better follow her or you can't listen to my show anymore.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Adventures of Pipeman on W4CY Radio.